Hello, our Crochet Harrycast. Hello, and welcome to Harrycast, our regular roundup of school and community news from BHVC Primary, with your presenters, Ellie, Ariadne, Freddie, and Oscar.
On this special festive episode of Harrycast, we've got a report from our school council representatives, who recently interviewed several members of Glenavon Town Council about their involvement with our school in an exciting time capsule project.
And the season of goodwill is well and truly underway here at BHVC, as we've enjoyed performing our Christmas concerts and taking part in a range of community events to celebrate this special time of year.
As well as all of that, we'll have an update on our Christmas in Need fundraiser. And we'll also be finding out what the pre-Christmas weather has in store for us.
Okay, let's get on with the show.
Back in November, some of our Year 5 and Year 6 pupils took part in a netball tournament where we competed with other schools from our cluster. BHVC won both of our matches and everyone played really well with accurate shooting and marking.
Thank you to Aberystwyth School and their sports ambassadors for hosting the event, and also to Keris and Jacob from TCBC Sports Development for organising it.
As a result of winning the tournament, our team will now go and play in the next round with several other schools from across Torvine. And that event will be held in Cumbrand Stadium. More on that soon.
Now it's time for the first part of our festive roundup.
At the end of November, we kicked off our festive celebrations in school with our awesome yearly tradition, Elf Day.
Many of the classes were hard at work making decorations for our fantastic new Christmas tree in the hall.
And next up was a very special afternoon as the community came together for the blessing of the crib at Bethlehem Chapel. Thank you to all the children and families who came along and to the local churches for organising such a special event to start the Advent season.
As we skated into December, Years 5 and 6 headed down to the Carols on the Green to sing a range of Christmas carols in front of the community Christmas tree.
We would like to thank everyone who came along to watch out and join in. And it definitely got everyone in a festive mood.
Also, special thanks to Mr. Evans and the volunteers of Friends of the Green for their time and effort in organising this community event.
And back in school, Julian and Tyler from Torvine Play joined our celebration worship to announce the finalists and overall winner of the annual Christmas card design competition. Diane Porb!
Other community news now, and as part of the 25-year anniversary of Glenavon becoming a World Heritage Site, pupils at BHVC were asked to create artwork, poems and written work to be placed in a time capsule which will be opened by future generations.
So it's over to Cody and Maddie from our school council to find out more.
Glenavon was awarded World Heritage Site status in 2000 because its industrial landscape is one of the best places to see and understand how coal and iron production changed the world.
To celebrate this milestone, a local company called Goss Engineering have created a time capsule, which was recently buried in the ground here at BHVC Primary, during a ceremony attended by members of Glenavon Town Council, who are leading the project.
They asked our school to create some artwork to be put inside the capsule, and this is a wonderful opportunity to share our voices, our work, and our memories with future generations.
The time capsule will be dug up and opened in 2050. That's 25 years from now.
Today we're joined by Nathan, Annalisa and Jen from Glenavon Town Council, who have come into the studio to tell us more about this exciting project. Hi, welcome to Harrycast.
Hello.
Morning.
Glenavon became a World Heritage Site 25 years ago. Why was it chosen for this special status?
Well, World Heritage Sites are sites that have been chosen by the United Nations because they're of what is called outstanding universal value. That means that they're of global importance, important not just in Wales or in Britain, but important to the whole world. And Blaenhafen was chosen as a World Heritage Site because of its industrial heritage. Nowhere in the world does a landscape shaped by the creation of iron production and mining exist on such a scale as in Blaenhafen. We've got Blaenhafen Ironworks, which was opened in 1789. It's one of the biggest ironworks in the world when it was first opened. This big pit. There's also the landscape around Blaenhafen with the tram roads and various features of local industry. There's also the Workman's Hall, which is evidence of the social history of Blaenhafen, and also the churches, chapels and town centre as well.
So why have Blaenhafen Town Council decided to create a time capsule?
Obviously, we feel it's a really important landmark, 25 years of being awarded World Heritage status. It's really important for the town. It's brought a lot of tourists into the town. I think it'll continue to do that in the future. And we just felt that it was something that was really worth marking because of how important it is. And we felt that this was a really good way of getting involved with children who will be here in the future when that time capsule is opened to see how life has changed in the next 25 years.
Why is it important for the town council to involve children in projects like this?
One of the most important things about World Heritage is you pass it on to the next generation. So it's about engaging future generations with their heritage. So it's not just about our generation here, it's about your children and your grandchildren. So passing that World Heritage story on into the future and transmitting it for future generations.
It's important for future generations to understand how Blaenhafen came into being and what shaped it, what's made it the way it is as it is now in 2025, and then what is going to shape it in the next 25 years. So, yeah, it's really important not to lose sight of that because our heritage is so, so important.
What do you think schools can do to help keep our history alive?
I think projects like this are quite important. So this time capsule project helps children today think about their past, think about their heritage. So projects like that, I think, really do engage young people with heritage. I think also, your school is called Blaenhafen Heritage VC Primary School. Heritage is in the name of the school. So learning about the past, learning about your local identity and your local history, I think, is really important.
Did any of you go to school in Blaenhafen? And if so, what was it like?
I went to school in Blaenhafen, and as a little girl, I went to Hillside Primary School, which sadly isn't there anymore, built this beautiful building instead. But school was very, very different. I've come back, as a trainee teaching assistant, and the world of teaching has changed massively. The way we were taught, the way we sat at desks, you don't sit at desks like we used to, so we used to sit at rows of desks. We didn't have teaching assistants in the classroom, and it was all very strict. And our focus was mainly on reading, writing, maths, times tables, you had to know those off by heart, and handwriting. And that was our focus. We didn't do all the diverse subjects that you cover now. Like I've been doing with Dosbarth Mellon, we've been looking at conduction and insulating, and that's incredible at 6 and 7 years old. So yeah, the focus has changed loads. It's very different.
Yeah, I went to school in Blaenhafen too. I went to St. Peter's School. Which again is now been demolished. It was in Park Street, and the two schools, Hillside and St. Peter's, combined in 2012 to form this school. And again, it was very different. It wasn't that long ago, but the change in that period is quite significant. So we wouldn't have had a podcasting studio when I was in school, for example. Digital technology is a much bigger part of day-to-day life now. We still had chalkboards in the classrooms back then, so we didn't have any of these digital screens that you've got today. So it is similar in some ways, but also very different.
How has Blaenhafen changed since it became a World Heritage Site in 2000?
Well, I remember growing up in Blaenhafen in the 1990s, and the town centre was very run down back then. So World Heritage Site status helped bring a renewed pride in Blaenhafen, a pride in its heritage and its identity. And it attracted lots of grant funding, so new shops opened. Shops were restored to look like they would have done in the Victorian times, so the town centre looks a lot nicer now than it did back in 2000. And I think in many ways it has improved. There are more restaurants in Blaenhafen now than there were then. The town's not perfect, we all know that, but it's I still think it's improved a lot since World Heritage Site status.
I would echo that. Funnily enough, I was recently looking at photos from that period that Nathan was talking about when the town was really run down. Lots of photographs of shops being boarded up and areas looking really poor and sad. And it made me realise how far we've come. Even now, I can sometimes look at the town and think, oh, it's a shame we can't do more with it. It's just a shame businesses don't take off, more independent businesses. But when I look at how far we've come from that period you were talking about, the difference is immense. And there is a really big change in how that town centre now looks. So, yeah, there has been an improvement. And one of the things with having that World Heritage status, that enabled us to access funding for the work that's been done in the town. So it's helped us in that respect.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest projects was the Blenavon World Heritage Centre. So you've probably been there. That was the original St. Peter's School. It was built by Sarah Hopkins, the sister of the Iron Master, back in 1816. But when that school closed back in 1982, it was completely derelict and it was left to rot. And after many years of being empty, it was then given lots of regeneration funding and it was reopened as the World Heritage Centre. And I think that's a really good example of how World Heritage status has benefited the town.
What new opportunities do you hope Blenavon will have for jobs and community life in the next 25 years?
So for me, I think the one thing that we've got is tourism. People come from all over the world. I don't think we realise, actually, where people come from and how many people come to Blenavon to see what we've got here. And I think that's one thing that we've got in the future that we can really work on to help make Blenavon a wealthier place and a nicer looking place, is to build on that opportunity that tourism is going to bring, maybe by opening up more hotels, maybe by one thing we've talked about a lot, Nathan, is linking up the attractions that we've got in Blenavon with maybe a bus that takes people around to the different attractions, and then hopefully we'll take people into the town centre so those businesses that do set up can thrive. That's how I see us progressing into the future.
I think digital technology provides new opportunities as well. You can work anywhere these days. You can work from home, which doesn't mean you have to travel away to the big cities to work. People can stay in their local towns and continue to do jobs, basically. So it doesn't mean people have to move away, which they did for many years. So hopefully that will be something that will grow in the future and people like yourselves won't have to move away from Blenavon to find work. So hopefully that will be something that the future will bring.
What do you think Blenavon will look like in 2050 when our time capsule is open?
25 years sounds like a long time, but it isn't really. And I think you'll find that in that period, there will be a lot of continuity. So you'll still recognise the town in 25 years from the town you see today. Most of the buildings will probably still be here. It'll still be very familiar. But there will be differences. Cars, for example, we'll see more electric cars on the streets. We'll see changes in technology in that way. I'd like to think the tourism will continue to grow and we will be more of a tourist attraction destination in 25 years' time. And hopefully the economy will be prosperous, but time will tell.
How can we make sure young people keep caring about our history in the future?
I think the big part of that is talking about it, knowing about it, and things that you can take ownership on, projects that you can start and then, you can watch grow over the next 25 years.
Yeah, I think it's understanding and appreciating why it's important. So so that means going on trips to places like Big Pit or the Ironworks, or when you go for walks in the landscape around the town, trying to understand what it is and why it's important. And I think when you understand the significance of something, you will value it more. And I think then that means you will want it to carry on for future generations.
I don't know, it's quite a dark and heavy subject, looking at the past and the mining industry and the iron industry. So it's how can we make that subject fun for children so that they want to learn it? And I think storytelling from people who perhaps were there and experienced that is a really great way to learn, especially if they've got lots of interesting stories to tell.
What does Blenavon mean to you personally?
For me, it means it's home. I feel very safe. People are very, very friendly and warm. in Blenavon town, and you can always go out. If you're having a lonely day, you can have a walk. There is always somebody to talk to. And also, I love the surrounding countryside that we've got. I like my walking. I used to do a lot of horse riding. So having the mountains on the doorstep was absolutely fantastic for me.
Yeah, I'd echo that. Blenavon is home, and it's been home to members of my family for over 200 years. So there's that long history and association with it. And I love the landscape around Blenavon, the beautiful views, but also the heritage as well.
Yeah, I think for me, very similar. It's a community. I wasn't born in Blenavon. You know, we've been here now 15 years, but it is home. I love what we've got on our doorstep. And I want everyone else to love it as well.
Thank you all for taking the time to come in and speak to us today about this amazing project.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You're very welcome.
Now for an update on our recent Children in Need event. The school council ran a fantastic cake and biscuit sale, and lots of fun activities took place around the school, including nursery, who had a pyjama party, and foundation phase, who did art and craft projects with a Pudsey theme.
It was a huge success. Our school raised an incredible £710. Thank you once again to everyone who sent in items.
In other news, Ollie and Kate from Torvine Council came in for a very productive meeting with our Eco Council, and a huge thank you to them for providing us with our new litter picking equipment.
Don't forget that we are now a designated litter picking hub, so if you'd like to organise your own litter picking activity, you can book out our equipment and help keep our community clean and safe.
Please call the school or email for more information.
Back to our Christmas celebrations now. And our school choir attended a special Carols by Candlelight service with the whole community at St. Peter's Church on Sunday.
Next, it was off to the Workman's Hall as years 2 to 6 attempted a pantomime production of Robin Hood.
Oh no, they didn't.
Okay, moving on. Everyone really enjoyed the experience, and it was a lot of fun and interaction between the performers and the audience.
Oh no, there wasn't?
Oh yes, there was.
Ahem. We would like to thank everyone who attended one of our Christmas concerts over the past few weeks. We hope you all enjoyed them.
Everyone also enjoyed the Christmas discos in the school hall. And to wrap things up, we were all treated to a performance from Peoples on the Rocksteady project, who rocked out on stage by playing a range of instruments.
Finally, we would also like to thank Mother Leanne, Pastor John and Santa for joining us this morning for our final celebration worship of this year.
Now let's take a look at the weather forecast for this weekend ahead.
Friday afternoon we'll see a mixture of sunny spells and patchy areas of cloud, with a few showers. It will start off fairly windy, but should ease off a little later in the day.
Saturday will remain dry with plenty of bright spells, but it will become cloudy in the afternoon with rain possible later on.
It will be quite cloudy day on Sunday with showers of rain in many places, and Monday will continue cloudy with further spells of rain, which will clear in the afternoon.
By the middle of next week, it will remain cloudy, but should stay mostly dry, with top temperatures around 7 degrees. That's your festive forecast.
Well, that's all for now. We hope you enjoyed listening to HarryCast here at BHVC Primary, and we'll be back with another episode in the new year.
The children and staff at BHVC would like to take this opportunity to wish you all a very hairy Christmas and a happy new year.
Nadolig Lawin at Mwythydd Newydd Dda.